Near 53 today on a Community Connection on 1400 K1, brought to you this morning by Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma and Tall Grass Motors. It is County Government Day. We will speak with County Assessor Todd Mathis coming up in just a moment.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tall Grass Motors. Tall Grass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tall Grass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tall Grass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tall Grass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
AM 1400 K1, and January seems to be my month the last several years when I get the opportunity to talk with Washington County Assessor Todd Mathis, who retook the oath of office this week. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Just took the oath of office two mornings ago on Wednesday, and that was, I believe, the fifth time that I've been sworn in as the county assessor for Washington County, so it's quite an honor.
I say this with a smile on my face. You've been sworn at more than that.
But you can guarantee that, that's for sure.
Assessors and treasurers, when it comes to tax collections, first of all, it's a necessary part of government, and you and I were talking on the hallway before we went on the air that you certainly try to be open with the taxpayers, and if there is a legal exemption that they can take, you want to make sure they're informed of it.
Absolutely. The thing that we like to do is let the public know that not only are there exemptions available, but we want to assist them in applying for those. Sometimes they can be a little intimidating. A homestead exemption may not be so much because it's fairly common, but there's so many other exemptions other than homestead exemption that you might qualify for or might be eligible for. So we want to get the word out that in addition to the homestead, there is an additional homestead that's based on income. There are also things like the senior freeze, which is based on age and income, and then the 100% disabled veterans exemption for veterans of foreign wars. We like to get the word out on those because some people may or may not know that they're eligible for any of those exemptions.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's important that you and I talk about those exemptions at least once a year just to make sure that either they may need to be reminded of it, although some of them, once you've filed for it, it's good as long as you live in that house. But it's a matter of, okay, people have moved, people have bought property, and obviously people have moved in from elsewhere.
Yeah, out of the county into Washington County. The homestead exemption is the most basic and the simplest of all of our exemptions. It's simply, if you live there January 1st and you're the owner of record of your property, then you can file for that homestead exemption. Once you file for it, you've got it for as long as you live there, like you mentioned. The one that has to be filed for maybe on an annual basis would be that additional homestead, because it is linked directly to your income, and your income can change from year to year. But if you have a household income of $20,000 a year or less, then you would qualify for that additional homestead exemption. The regular homestead takes $1,000 off of your assessed valuation. That additional homestead would be $2,000 in essence. And so it's a nice exemption for those that might be borderline, not really poverty level, but that don't have the income to pay their property taxes. It helps them to reduce their property taxes significantly.
Yeah, I think particularly when I'll classify it as the working poor, it's sometimes every dollar does count. And if this is, again, a legal exemption that you can take, first of all, you're entitled to it. The law says use it.
Absolutely. And the filing period in Oklahoma is January 1st through March 15th. And so we've already begun the filing period for 2019. And it's hard to say the year 2019 because I remember when 1999 and 1989 were just a few days ago, it seemed like. But in addition to the homestead and additional, we have the senior valuation freeze. And that's the one that I want to let people know about today, or let people know a little more information about. If you're 65 years of age or older as of the 1st of January, and your income is at or below the HUD median income for Washington County, then you would qualify for that. This year, the income level has risen to $63,100. So if you make $63,100 or less, and that's combined household income, husband and wife, or anyone living in the household, essentially, then you can qualify for the senior valuation freeze. And what that does, it's not an exemption like the homestead and the additional homestead where it takes dollars off of your tax bill, but it freezes your property valuation at where it is right now, and if values continue to go up like they have in years past, yours will not go up a dollar extra. So it keeps you at a at a rate where you can afford those taxes.
And just to be upfront with people, that is the valuation that is frozen. Your tax rate, your dollar amount could and likely will vary as the taxing bodies change, but it's all based on that valuation.
And that is a good point. I think a lot of people in their mind think they're freezing their taxes, and so they say, I want to come in and freeze my taxes, and we let them know you're actually freezing your valuation. Your taxes could fluctuate up or even down, and as we saw this past year, the millage rate for say Bartlesville actually decreased by 3 or 4 mills. And so even if your valuation stayed the same from 2017, your 2018 taxes would have been a little bit less this year. So the key is you're freezing your value at where it is right now, not the taxes.
Yeah, I think it's important to know. I mean, either way, it's a good assurance for people who qualify that more or less things are going to remain the same.
Absolutely. And the one thing we also want to point out is even if it doesn't mean your taxes are going to stay at the amount they are, if property values decline, which we haven't seen a whole lot of in the 18 years I've been county assessor, but if they were to decline and we were to drop your property value, we would actually drop your valuation as well. And so it doesn't mean we're going to freeze you at the amount you're at, and it'll never go down. It just cannot go up.
Good point. So again, you can benefit if the, I'm not sure property value is going down is a real benefit, but on the other hand, it would lower your taxes.
Yeah, the one thing about it is, you know, they talk about real estate is gold, and property values have held steady or increased almost every year, actually every year since I've been here. So that's one thing you can count on is property values will, in the long haul, go up, not go down. So we want to be able to freeze those values if you are 65 years of age or older and reach that minimum income of $63,100. So if you feel that you do qualify for that, please come into the county assessor's office. You do need to show verification of your income, either your previous year's income tax return, or if you're just on Social Security, when you get that Social Security notification from administration, mm-hmm. bring that letter in to us and we can verify that that's what you're receiving for 2019. And it's a pretty simple process. Takes about 5 minutes in the office, and that's about it.
That's nice. And, of course, when people have questions, that's what your staff is there for. And I know, I think several of them are, and I know they'll work their way through. They may not take pencil in hand and actually fill out the form for you, although it'd be nice if they did. But they'll, you know, say this goes here and this goes here.
Yeah, we have trained all of our employees to help out in any way they can. So when any question is asked, and I will say we've heard every question under the sun in the last 18 years, but I would say 99% of them we can answer immediately. There, if we can't find an answer for you that day, we will look it up either in statute or case law and get you an answer as soon as we can. But yes, someone that comes in from the right off the street has a question or would like to have a form filled out, we'll be able to help you immediately when you come in. So the filing period is January 1st through March 15th. The filing period is for the homestead, the additional homestead, and the senior freeze. The fourth exemption that I touched on briefly was the 100% disabled veterans exemption. Mm-hmm. That one you can file for really any time in the calendar year, as long as you get the letter from the VA that says you are disabled at the 100% rate. Bring that letter to the county assessor's office, and we will make your taxes completely exempt from that point going forward.
That's nice. And I mean, again, not that I want somebody to be 100% disabled for the VA. But it is a good benefit. It helps not only with property taxes, but sales tax exemptions and some other things.
Correct. Sales tax, I believe excise tax, if they were to purchase a new automobile, they would be waived the excise tax. And there may be other taxes that they're exempt for, but you know, the price they paid if they do become 100% disabled, it's the least we can do for our veterans to be able to provide that benefit.
Okay. So again, the filing period runs through the middle of March.
March 15th is the deadline, and it's kind of strange because April 15th is the one that everyone has in their mind for IRS purposes or,
yes.
or income tax purposes. But yes, for county exemptions, homestead, additional homestead, and senior freeze, the deadline is the 15th of March.
Okay. Well, something to keep in mind as well. It's that 1 month difference between local government and the IRS. We'll continue on our session with County Assessor Todd Mathis in just a moment.
Announcing the new Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, two of Oklahoma's premier orthopedic experts, Central State Orthopedics and Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, EOC, have now merged to become Oklahoma's premier orthopedic healthcare expert, Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, PLLC. So if you're in need of back surgery, knee or hip replacement, call the specialist at Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, 918-494-9300. 800. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma now offers the best orthopedic care in the state. And I should know. It's where I had my back surgery. So whether you're in need of back surgery, hip or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, located in the Natalie Building at 65th and Yale. Call 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1. Again, spending some time with Todd Mathis. And, the assessed value of our home, that's what everything is set on. But, again, schools, depending on a lot of that, county, and, of course, even city bonds are look at that same number.
You know, for every tax dollar you spend, probably about 60% of it will go to the local school district, whether you live in Bartlesville, Dewey, Caney Valley, Copan, or any of the other school districts. The other 40% is split between the city, if there is a city millage rate, which Bartlesville and Dewey both do apply that levy. There's also a little bit that goes to the local VOTEC. Tri-County VOTEC is the major one in Washington County, although if you do live in the southern end of the county, you may be paying a little bit into Tulsa County VOTEC. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the county tax dollars, which go to help the health department and county government as well.
Yeah.
And so it is split up among those different taxing jurisdictions. But, yes, the lion's share, and I would just throw a number out there, 60% of it goes to the local school district, Bartlesville, Dewey, Copan, et cetera. So, your tax dollars, even though, as you pointed out at the very beginning, it's kind of a necessary evil, but it does keep our schools looking nice. It keeps the dollars flowing into the school district, so it helps everyone that's involved in the schools.
If you've ever sat in on a school board meeting about this time of year, that's the thing that they're looking at. People paid their tax dollars early, and we get a little bit of extra bonus because they paid on the first day of the period that it was due as opposed to the last day of the period it was due.
You know? Absolutely, and that's one thing that a lot of taxpayers do know, that the 31st of December is the deadline to pay taxes, but the good thing is you don't have to pay your full tax bill. You have to pay at least a half of it, or one half of it, and then the other half is due at the end of March. So it gives taxpayers a little bit of a chance to split those up. The first of the year is big, not only for the start of our filing period, which began just a few days ago, but it also starts the personal property asset reporting period, I guess you'd say.
That's a good word for it, yeah. Again, not everybody would necessarily have to file it. It kind of depends on what you have, what business you're in, and that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Household personal property was abolished by a vote of the people in 2009, so it's been coming up on 10 years now. However, all business, personal property, farm equipment, and mobile homes, if those mobile homes are not assessed as real estate, those have to be rendered to the county assessor's office by that same March 15th deadline. So we are in the process of mailing out about 3,300 business personal property renditions. And I'm sorry, personal property renditions as a whole. Some of those are businesses, some of those are mobile homes, and some are farm equipment. But if you own a business, mobile home or farm equipment, you should be receiving one in the mail any day now. They will either be going out today or first part of next week. So be on the lookout for those. A lot of times when they arrive in the mail, you glance over them and you set them aside, and you don't think about them until March 15th. But we encourage everyone that does receive those to look over them, make sure the data that's on those renditions, the data is correct, and then get those back to our office. Because, yes, the sooner that those are returned, the sooner we can begin the assessment process as well.
How's that data derived? How do you get that information?
We are very reliant upon the taxpayer self-reporting, and the reason I say that is for every, and I'll use businesses as an example, for every business that moves into Washington County, if it's a big business, and I'll use TJ Maxx and some of those new businesses that were built out by the new Lowe's, or out by Lowe's in the new retail center, they have a business personal property department. They know to render their personal property every year to the county assessor, whether it's in Washington County or another county. But and there's a Discount Tire that's being built as we speak. And So when Discount Tire does come to Washington County and opens a business here in Bartlesville, they'll have a corporate office that knows they need to render that. But it's the small mom-and-pop businesses that we want to get the word out to, because they probably do not know. So, you know, for every Discount Tire that's built in Bartlesville that's a corporate chain, you've got a Perkins or Tinker Glasshouse or whatever, the local restaurant that was just built here,
right.
They may not know that you have to turn in your business personal property assets to the county assessor every year. So We want to get the word out, let them know. It saves them a little bit of heartache on the back end, because if you don't render by that date, there is a either 10% penalty if you're 30 days late, or 20% penalty on your rendering if you turn it in afterwards. So we want to get the word out to get that into us as soon as possible, so that you don't have any late fees or penalties.
And then if you have sold a asset or traded it in for a newer asset somewhere along the line, then that change needs to be made.
Absolutely. And a good example of that would be farm equipment. You have a farmer that may have a 1980 tractor that's just on its last legs, and they go buy a brand new Kubota or brand new John Deere tractor. They need to let us know that 1980 tractor is no longer on the assessment rolls, but now we've got the new 2016 Kubota or whatever it might be.
Right.
So yes, we do receive some lists from the state of Oklahoma that shows us what was purchased in the year, but linking those to the correct owner sometimes a little more difficult, because someone may go to Oklahoma City to buy a tractor, but then they may bring it into Washington County and have it here on their farm. And so even though we know that there was a tractor bought in 2018 somewhere in Oklahoma City, we may not know that it's located here in Washington County. And that's what the statute actually says. It has to be assessed in the county in which it's located on January 1st.
Okay, so again, that's just it'll eventually come around, but eventually the taxpayer is kind of on the honor system.
It is, and we do rely on the taxpayers to report that information to us. We will find out eventually, but it's best to do it the year that it's acquired, because then that way there's no late fees, no penalties for reporting to the county assessor's office.
Every year, there is a certain aerial survey that you have a contractor that overflies the county and takes pictures of I guess every piece of property, but not necessarily every year.
We have a contract with Pictometry, which is a international company that's located actually in New York, in Rochester, New York. They fly our aerial images once every 3 years, and so we actually had them flown last year in 2018, about a year ago right now. It's January of 2018. They flew in 2015, 2012, and 2009 going backwards. But they do a great job. They actually don't just fly one direction and shoot straight down. They actually fly north, south, east, and west in the county, and they will shoot four different directions. So we will have an image of every building in Washington County from directly above, and then a 45-degree orthogonal view from the north, south, east, and west. So it really helps us in our rural areas more than in town, because in town we have most of those already assessed. But in the rural areas, if someone owns 160 acres and wants to build a barn on the backside of their property and there's really no access from the road, we may miss that. And so the aerial photography we get through Pictometry does help tremendously in picking up those assets.
And then every year you do at least one day in each community, and I think that's kind of a holdover from statehood, as I recall.
It is. We do go into each of the communities, and I'm going to go off the top of my head and hope I remember them all, but we go into Vera, Oshaleta, Ramona, Copan, and Dewey at least once late in the month of January or for early part of February, and it gives the taxpayers in those communities a chance to render their renditions to us without having to come all the way to Bartlesville. I know nowadays you can do things either by email or, you know, in the mail, but sometimes it's nice just to drop that off and hand it off personally to the county assessor, and it gives us an opportunity to do that in those local communities.
You're on the web, countycourthouse.org, and I haven't visited the assessor's page recently, but last time I was, it was pretty informative.
www.countycourthouse.org, and then once you get there, there is a resources tab, and if you click on public access, you should be able to go to the county assessor's public access from there. Is it as user-friendly as I'd like? Maybe not, but we're working on that, because there's just so many things that you can put on there, and you can almost put too much information out there, and it really does get confusing. So we try to get the most basic information out there at the taxpayer's fingertips, so to speak, so they can click on it. But if you have any questions about how to navigate through the website, feel free to give us a call and we'll walk you through it. We'd love to help you out any way we can, because we want it. Our ultimate goal is to be as open and transparent as we can be. Our goal is to be as helpful to the to taxpayers and let them know what exemptions they have available and what they can do to make life easier as a taxpayer.
And I think that it comes down to open county government, too.
I've always had an open-door policy, and you know, the accountability starts at the county assessor himself and then works through my employees, and we've always just said, if you have any questions, feel free to ask. There's no there's no dumb, quote-unquote, dumb question, because the only one that's dumb is the one that doesn't get asked. So we encourage you to ask questions. We would love to help you out any way we can.
County Assessor Todd Mathis was this morning on a Community Connection on 1400 K1. Community Connection brought to you by Tallgrass Motors and by Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma. 34 degrees at 1400 K1. News from the ONN on the way next.
ONN News, I'm Sean Carey. With the inauguration of Governor-elect Kevin